Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that cool.
Culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Matt, you had a big night last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had...
it's history making.
I had sex.
Yes!
With... Sudi Green.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding. We woke up in the same bed, and it was a bit that really she forced upon it that we had sex. And I was like, look, I'll go with it. And if people want to believe that we had sex, I'm fine with that. Like, if, because I do
she
feel like.
She tweeted out a statement, or you tweeted out a statement.
I tweeted out a statement that confirmed that we had sex. We did not. But I think it's fun. And Sudi has, for nearly a decade, loved to push this narrative that we've had sex and have a sexual relationship.
Well, Sudi. And Sudi.
And we have fake had sex on stage, and my parents and her parents both watched.
Oh, you guys did not fake make out. I mean, was that what you were talking about? Like, just
no,
sticking your tongues
I've,
in each other's faces?
Sudi is the woman in this row that I have made out with the most.
Yeah.
And then it really hurt my feelings one day when, like, we were going to do a sketch. Billy Domino wrote a sketch where we played, this is a very college sketch, we played children who woke up on Christmas morning and were so excited that they fucked. And that was very much Sudi and I's.
It was, it's shocking.
Sketchual relationship.
I remember that day.
And we were running it one time. It was like a best of show at the end of the year. And Sudi expressed frustration that we had to kiss and it hurt me.
What was her frustration?
She didn't want to kiss me. And okay. It was weird because she had gaslit me into thinking I was a good kisser. And then all of a sudden one day she was like, oh, I really don't want to kiss you tonight. And I was like, well, we don't have to. But
can
like, ouch.
Can I ask you something? Anytime,
yeah,
anytime me, you, Sudi, and your mother, Katrina, are in a room together, you never fail to bring up the time when Sudi, like, we were all together at a bar after a show.
Because Sudi does this thing where she likes to kiss people on the mouth. And I want to ask my guest if she's experienced this.
Okay,
this
we
phenomenon
do have to bring
with Sudi.
In.
Because she's very close with Sudi. But Sudi likes to kiss on the mouth.
Well, let me finish the story.
Go ahead.
So then Sudi and I kissed on the mouth just as a way to say goodbye or to show affection. And then
I can't believe this happened.
And then Katrina, your mother, asked me.
So how long have Bowen and Sudi been dating?
LOL.
And I was like, oh my God. It made me sick to my stomach.
This is what I have to ask you. Stop. Was that born of jealousy?
I was jealous. I was jealous of both parties.
I knew it.
And also, like, I was just like, Mom, you can't think this. I was like, I just was like, it's so, I don't know. The fact that she sexualized you both.
And you now, it seems. She's sexualizing you. She sexualizes everyone. And let's bring our guest in on this because we need to get her
insight. I want
to
know. I want the tea.
Well, our guest is... I'm so excited for
this. This is a really good one for me because I don't think our guest knows this.
But we love
her. And I tell Sudi this because I'm very gagged that they're so close. And I love our guest very deeply. In fact, our guest was the reason I became obsessed with UCB. And I used to seek out your performances and go a lot to your shows.
Oh!
Let's get it.
She was my favorite improviser at UCB when I was first going.
First going. Okay.
I always talk about a scene that she did with Middleditch where they played The Sun and the Moon.
Oh my God.
She doesn't remember that scene because she's done so many. Many
it's improv.
Thousands
it's
of
improv.
Scenes.
It's disposable.
And her action as you played the moon and your action was boop, boop, bee doop. Which sounds right.
It sounds right.
And the credits come rolling down.
They come rolling down. She is a writer at Saturday Night Live, supervising writer. Writing supervisor.
Hell yeah.
The title doesn't matter, but it does. And she's written for What Hot American Summer 10 Years Later and Big Mouth.
Which I am obsessed with Big Mouth.
I fucking love
Big Mouth.
So, so funny. Please welcome Fran
Gillespie.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you are my fave.
I am learning this now and it's embarrassing me.
Well, don't be embarrassed because I genuinely love. Also, Sudi always tells me, don't ever tell her that. Because, and she says, don't be a fan.
Yeah, it's funny when people are like, oh my God, I saw all of your improv shows or whatever, because I just can't imagine how many bad shows that was. Like, it is true. I was... doing UCB most days of the week for the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
I can't remember any single scene.
That's
never.
Probably good. Yeah.
I can't
Not a single one.
I mean, truly cannot remember one improv scene.
Who can? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I was watching it with you.
Your own, you don't remember.
Also, but when I say like I sought out your improv shows, I mean I went to like five.
Right.
You know what I mean? I really enjoyed five good ones that you did, and the memories are only positive. So don't you worry.
But it is just like there are so many thousands of shows that it's like the percentage is like. I would say, what do you think the improv percentage is? 50% good, 50% bad?
Oh. I mean, when you're very talented.
For you, it might be like
you
something
probably
higher.
Judge them more harshly.
I mean, I would say half the time I walk off stage, I'm like, oh boy, there goes that night. But then half the time I'm like, yeah, let's get a drink. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then those are cool. The extremes of it. It's like you walk off stage and you like, I guess my worst shows are ones that are just completely fucking off the rails,
but
not in a fun way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
There's like off the rails where like everyone is being insane and then you're like out of breath at the end of the show and you're like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And there's off the rails where it's like, the audience wasn't even laughing.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Like, we were all definitely screaming and definitely improvising. But like I peeped like the first row and like people were frowning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We did the assignment, but was it fun? Which is like honestly a lot of improv for me. I never got improv. I don't know. We've talked about this a whole bunch on this podcast, but like I was very much on the sketch side of things because improv just terrified me. So when people we would sometimes do a sketch show after an improv show was getting out and it'd be like all the really good improvisers and they would like talk about the set and I would be like, trying to listen in, like, how do they talk about it? You know what I mean? It's a language I never understood.
Oof, but discussing an improv show after an improv show, like, there might not be anything more disgusting than that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no, this is great. When you're, like, first on a Herald team and after the Herald, you go backstage and then just, like, people are apologizing to each other because you just, like, don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you know, there's so much pressure and the stakes are so high that you put on yourself. And then you, like, go backstage and it's like, I'm so sorry for that second beat. Were you thinking an alias? It's like, oh. Oh
no! Were you thinking analogous, like,
or time jump? Yeah, like
the group game. We were all dogs, right?
Okay, good.
Yep. And I thought that, but it was like so disgusting.
I think I had Brandon Gardner for 201, and he was like explaining what analogous and time dash.
I didn't even get it right.
Because when he was explaining it, I was like performing so hard that I understood.
Oh, no.
That's what being 20 years old in an improv class is. Though. I was like, absolutely, yep, I get it.
Totally.
And you're thinking about how much you understand and you're not hearing any of the information. Which is unfortunately when I started taking improv classes when I was 19 years old.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Actually, I started when I was 18. I went to NYU, just like you guys.
Mm-hmm. Just like us.
And when I got to NYU, who cares about this backstory? But I'll just...
No, we
care. No, a lot of people care.
Okay. So I went to NYU, and I grew up in Chicago, and I went to NYU, and when I went to audition at NYU, it was the first time I had ever been on a plane. I knew absolutely no one on the East Coast.
Wow, shit.
I'm Midwest, born and raised, like... All my family lives in the Midwest. We had only been on like car vacations. Mm-hmm. Not only, they're incredible, but
we love them. We love car vacations.
And I love a car vacation.
Did you have like a nice, good van for it?
Fuck no.
We
had a Volvo station wagon and I sat in the way, way back because all my other siblings said they got car sick, which I found out later they didn't.
No. I say that too. I'm one of those assholes.
Oh, it's like, oh yeah, I can't sit the middle. Car sick. It's like,
I can't even sit. I have to be in the front. Uh-huh.
And my sister said I kicked in my sleep, so I would sleep on the floor and she would get like a queen size bed when we went on vacation.
Damn.
Anyway,
oh my God.
It's so brutal. But we had a Volvo station wagon and I sat in the way, way back, sometimes with my little brother, sometimes just with a cooler of food. And the only time people would interact with me would be like, excuse me, turkey sandwich. And I would just be like, oh. And these weren't short drives.
Turkey sandwich.
14 hours.
No.
14 hour drives, two stops.
Oh my God. To go where?
We went from Chicago to upstate, well, you would call it northern Minnesota. It's like almost Canada. And we went every summer.
Yeah.
Upstate Minnesota. It's like, and we went every single year for 20 years. And it was great, but I had never been on a plane. And then, so when I went to NYU, obviously knew nobody, knew nothing, had nothing, was just like completely lost. sobbing to my mom, and she's like, just join a club. Yeah. Just go and join a club. Yeah. Just like have, you know, she was over it too.
Yeah.
Well, she was like, I'm going to pay for you to do like one of those orientation activities. It was the Sex and the City bus tour.
Okay.
I did sit with a nursing student who was like in her 40s. I was like, okay, no friends there. But so then the same day I auditioned for an a cappella group. And
was it Enharmonix?
Actually, I think it was.
Wow.
Was that the Tish one?
Yeah. There was like, oh, well, maybe. Yeah, that was a Tish one. That was like the one. Where they were like, their thing was like, they were fierce.
Oh my God. I think it was Enharmonix. Yeah. I've never thought of that name probably since I auditioned.
Yeah.
But then I also auditioned for Hammercats.
Yes, fam.
And Hammercats was in its second semester because it started mid-year the year before I got to NYU. And so it was like the second semester of Hammercats. And then
Was like Donald and Derek in DC?
Yep.
And like,
wow.
It was
Donald Glover, y'all. That's what we're talking about.
Donald and Dominic. DC was my age, and so he was also auditioning.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But he knew the head of Hammercats. Because they had grown up in Arizona together.
His
name was AJ.
Oh.
And I think he like writes
poems.
Damn it. Yeah, poems. Right. No, what's like a gamer? Video games.
Oh, that's kind
what's
of a,
like a what's gamer?
Like a gamer? What's like a gamer?
And she made like a little drummer boy
I'm
hands.
Sorry, what's like a gamer? Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. And who else was in it? Oh, Dan Greger, Doug Mann, yes. Lou Perez, Greg Burke. So then I joined Hammercats, and then forevermore, we hung out, I would say, 6 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just my social life. But then they all took UCB classes. I had never heard of UCB, but they were like, you got to take UCB classes. So I started when I was like 18, 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so...
So early.
So embarrassing.
No.
No, 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 no. It's embarrassing to think of who I was when I first
started. Doing improv? Yeah.
You're never the best version of yourself back then.
Oh my God. Bad behavior every single day of my life. But also like was so stupid and knew nothing.
So dumb.
And so like I couldn't improvise about anything because I didn't know anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Also like wasn't street smart or book smart. So it was just like.
But at NYU.
How am I? Yeah.
But all my scenes were like about having like a mom and siblings. You know what I mean? Like,
what were you majoring in at NYU?
My major ended up being English and Spanish. But
okay.
Originally it was musical theater.
Okay.
And I transferred immediately because my first semester of college, my classes were like voice lessons and Alexander technique, and of course, writing the essay.
Writing the essay. Yes. Gotta respect.
And I also didn't have friends in those classes because it was like musical theater people, which I love, but I would say
you're not that person.
I was not making friends.
Yeah, okay.
I won't blame them. It was me.
Yeah,
it was I didn't have friends, and the classes were insane, and I knew how much the school was costing. And so I was like, this is not happening. So I transferred immediately and was an English and Spanish major.
But I did the opposite of you. I was in CAS and transferred into dramatic writing at Tisch. So I was let's make this degree worthless.
No,
it wasn't worthless, but you know, I'm happy I did it because you met people that matter now.
Right.
Exactly.
But like,
I know. You know. I think about college and I'm like, during college I had two NYU friends, and then just truly every single day doing like UCB stuff.
Yeah. And that's where you met the people.
Yeah. It's where like I was just there so much that when I think about college, I just think about like, you know, Hammercats and UCB.
And UCB.
But I don't think I got my willies out. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I think I had problems later into my 20s because I was like, but I didn't really have a college experience.
Yeah.
I was a person like at Turco, like talking to the improv group and being like, and where is the party afterwards?
Do we get together and drink beers?
Okay. Like, I was a person that, like, at the Turco was just like, okay, who's someone I connected with in this school? And where's the party at?
Is someone driving? Are we doing the designated driver?
Beer pong partners. Yeah. Just like, who? Just like, didn't get my willies out. And so, like, into my, like, late 20s was definitely like, bringing like beer bongs to UCB parties and being like, who wants to play flip cup? And
living
Horatio
out.
Sands is like, no. Like, not doing, like, truly a child.
Yeah. So you didn't, like, get your partying hat on in high school?
You know, in high school, we did party, but it was, like, I was not cool in high school. But definitely, I have the exact same personality now that I had in high school, and people don't like that, especially like, if you're like just kind of like always loud and mean, but also 16, people are like friends with you because you're like kind of scary.
Yeah, we don't want to be on the other side of it.
Wow.
Oh my
wow.
God, I've befriended so many people like that because I desperately wanted to be cool.
I wasn't cool. I knew I was never going to be. Yeah. It was just like, whatever's happening is happening. Boys like definitely didn't like me romantically, but like, you know, I was just, I don't know. But we would shoulder tap. Do you know what that is?
Explain.
No.
Okay. Shoulder tapping is where you park in a parking lot of a liquor store and someone goes and taps a stranger on the shoulder. You give them $20 and say,
okay,
if
bye.
You get us a brick of Milwaukee's Best, you can just keep the change. And I grew up basically on the Northwestern campus. And so constantly constantly like, you know, a 20-year-old with a fake ID himself was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And so we would shoulder tap and get like a big brick of beer and then like go drink it in like someone's basement. Never with boys, just like, you know, just like me and my girlfriends, just like, oh, we would drink. A friend of mine had a pool and we would drink beer bongs from a pool noodle.
Yeah,
of course.
Wow.
Of course.
Wow.
Of course.
We used to get like little plastic. We would get one handle of Bacardi Razz. The first alcoholic drink I ever had was Bacardi Razz. And now it's like when I say the words, I want to throw up.
I know.
Smirnoff Ice.
We'd mix it with orange juice and just like have our little plastic cups and be in my one friend who had like a cool mom's backyard and like be sipping like this like weird drink, Bacardi Razz and orange juice, which is that a thing?
That's too many flavors.
It's too many flavors.
Yeah, right? We didn't know at the time.
Bacardi Razz is already a flavored thing.
It's like so much.
Is it carbonated or no?
I don't think it is.
No, okay.
But
okay.
Like, and then we just put it together because you knew you needed a mixer, right? It's an alcoholic drink. You need a mixer.
Right.
So you get that and like put it together. And I don't know what, Bacardi Razz was like a thing. Like you decide you want something. It was Bacardi Razz and 99 apples. You ever 99 proof, like apple vodka?
Right.
And I had one friend, Kenny, who I just referenced it like in the last episode, who would fill a water bottle up with 99 apples. And then he loved to show off how he could chug it. He's going to love
this
hearing
is gonna,
this. He listens.
I'm going to throw up, Julie.
And literally, we would be insanely fucked up. And I would just like, I'd almost like, it was like defining how to not drink like in the very first few weeks of discovering alcohol. So I guess like we got like our vicious alcohol problems out of the way very early and like really wrecked ourselves like right there, because it's Long Island and that's just what you did.
Do you guys have drinks that you can't have anymore because it was like wheat beer?
Yeah, because okay, at my college graduation, I went back to Long Island. My parents threw me like a graduation party and they had Blue Moon on tap. Ooh. And it was like an open bar, the situation they had. So I was drinking a lot of Blue Moon because for some reason it felt like it was light to me. I don't know. I didn't really know any better.
Whatever, yeah.
Wheat beer is sneaky though.
Okay.
And it's also like kind of tasty.
Yeah,
like
I like it.
It tastes like orangish.
Yeah, it's like dessertish in a way. It comes with an orange.
You can't really have more than a couple.
Right, but I had more than a couple. And then my one uncle was like buying us tequila shots.
Oof.
And so let me tell you, and wheat beer it tastes good going down. It does not taste good going up. Couldn't smell it for like 8 years.
What's that drink for you, Fran?
I mean, when I was young, because we didn't have money, we would get the cheapest vodka you could ever possibly get.
Was it Georgie?
I mean, I think it was like label-less. It was so cheap that it was just like a bottle.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you needed to like check with the cashier what it was. Like, but I can't have any vodka.
Yeah, I can't have any vodka anymore either.
Because it's like the easiest thing to get wrong if you buy it cheaply.
Yeah.
And if it's like an $8 handle of vodka and you're like, there's no way
it's
good.
You will throw up. Yeah.
What's yours, Bowen?
like Mike's hard, but that's everybody's, right?
Mike's hard.
I vividly remember a night when all my drama club friends forced me to stay at this person's house when my parents were freaking out, being like, come home now. It's 10 p.m. Come home. It's a Friday. Mm. But then this Heroes had just come out on NBC.
Holy shit. Transport us.
People were freaking the fuck out about this new show, Heroes. And so everyone was like, but no, we're marathoning Heroes. We have Mike's Hard Lemonade. You're staying, you're drinking at least three, and then you're gonna call and then John's gonna give you a ride home. And then it was like the worst night of my whole life, being forced to watch Heroes while drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Did you get like blacked out?
I didn't get blacked out. I just like I got like Asian blush, like red, and I was just like, this doesn't feel cool.
But Mike's Hard doesn't have a ton of alcohol in it, but it has so much sugar that you're just like, it's
fucked
like
up.
Pounding like fruit punch. Like, could you imagine drinking like a gallon of fruit punch?
No. And then just like,
yeah, but it has that
sipping
vibe.
A little thimble of vodka or something.
Honestly, like when the boys would drink like beer and the girls would drink like these like synthetic drinks, like Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah.
And like they were getting more fucked up because like that's a drink you get fucked up on.
And Smirnoff Ice also is like basically Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's like
sugar. Or the Mike's Hard. Like, you know, they're like, because they were sweet, they were like for girls, you know?
Anybody else uncomfortable with the color of Smirnoff Ice?
Yeah. Blue. Does it look like cum?
Yes. Oh, it's watery. It's cum. Like, cum. It looks like, it's so fucking insane.
It's cum
to
water.
Be like chugging. It looks like, if you know how when people like dip, they like, it's like if you were doing that with like gum. Like, if you're, like, chewing gum and then you just, like, spit it. It's disgusting.
Well, did people do, like, dip? Did people dip around you in high school? Like, I didn't. No. I knew some guy. I stayed far away from those dippers.
Dip is a big baseball thing.
Yeah.
And dip is, well, the funny thing about dip is it's, like, it's something that you can get a buzz on. Even, you know, like if I was sitting here, I could have dip in my mouth and you wouldn't know. Or you would, because my lip would be bulgy. But it's not like, it's like acceptable, an acceptable way of like, even when you're working or just like in public, of like getting a buzz.
Yeah.
But it's so disgusting because it dyes your gums.
Black.
And it's just like the most obvious, like, don't.
It's gross.
No, it's a no. It's a never.
It's a no.
Oh, and then people have Gatorade bottles and then just be like spitting into the like mini Gatorade bottle brown juice.
Stop.
That's the most heterosexual thing I've ever heard in my life. Not that it's a Gatorade bottle.
Now that I'm talking about this, I'm like, wait, would that be like kind of a sexy thing for me to get into?
Also, you started dipping.
Dude, should I dip?
I think you should dip. Dude. And also, just start getting Gatorade.
Wait.
Was it a Julio Torres joke like,
I got my straight friend a gift, and I got him an empty Gatorade bottle.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, Fran. Yes. All this talk about drinking reminds me of a time. I don't know if you remember this. This was DCM like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, I hope I was nice.
No, you were so nice. Okay. It was the three of us in Tarver, and I think Brandon Scott Jones were standing outside a bar.
Oh,
we were all
this is
wasted.
Foss was there too.
Foss was there. Yeah, Foss was there, and we were all standing outside a corner, and then we were talking about how Pride was insane because Pride always falls during DCM.
Right.
Not this year, but we were like, someone was like, you know, everyone gets so naked on Pride, it's like, pull your pants up. And then you came darting out. Like you heard one of us say this. And then the bit the entire night was, pull your pants up. Like,
oh,
you saying,
pull your pants up. I do remember that.
It stayed with us. That was the first time we ever, like, interacted. And I was like, that... nailed it.
You better pull your pants up. I actually really am remembering that now. And I'm happy that that was a memory because speaking of like a storied UCB history, or if you're just like around long enough, this will happen. Things are coming back to me to bite me in my ass now where people are like, 6 years ago, you said this to me.
And it was not nice.
It's never not nice, but it's like, okay, so like someone puts on Instagram, and when I would go on tours, I toured so much.
You did a lot of tours.
For years, it was like my main way of making money.
Yeah.
And whenever anybody would ask me like for advice, like kids on these, or not kids, but you know, these college kids.
Students, yeah.
would be like, what should I do? I would always say, like, don't go to grad school. Don't move to the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. Like, just move to New York or LA. Uh-huh. And I do stand by that. Yeah. But, like, multiple times now, I've been, like, tagged in Instagram posts. And it's like, at Brian Gillespie told me when I was, you know, 20, like, why would I do anything except move to New York or LA? And it's never negative, but I'm like, damn, why do people remember that? Don't blame me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's hard to make it. And
yeah, I know.
Sure. It's not bad advice, but I'm like, ugh. But I mean,
it's not bad advice. It's not.
That's the thing that keeps coming back to me, because people are tagging me in a lot of posts like that. But I am haunted now by, like, oh yeah, after a UCB show in 2005, you said to me, and I'm like, oh my God, brace yourself. Yeah,
because also it's like, you look back on a younger version of yourself giving advice, and you're like, no, bitch, no.
We're going to listen back to this and be like, to our fucking podcast, like, 2 years from now, even.
Oh, no. Already. I'm like, I know that there's hundreds of hours of us talking.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, well, something's coming back.
Yeah.
Something's coming
it's
back.
And it's also just like, it's dorky to like hear advice you get. Like, and who am I to be giving any type of advice? But it's also just like, please don't quote me back to me. Because also, like, if it's, you talk to me after a show, I was probably in a hurry to leave or get to McManus. So, like,
or drunk already.
Right. Exactly. Like, if you cornered me after a show in 2006 and I was like short with you, like, I'm so sorry, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But then I see people who have so much patience, are so kind, will give like everybody the time of day. And I'm like, I just think for me, it would come off disingenuous.
Sure. I mean, there's a risk of that. Like, but I will never forget the advice Fran Gillespie gave to me.
No.
Which was, put your pants up.
Put your pants up.
And that's good advice.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something about these sluts on Pride. You look like a mess, honey. Put your pants up.
No, we love nudity on
we
Pride.
We love nudity on Pride. Celebrate.
Not when it's centered towards muscly cisgendered white male bodies.
Yes. You need some shame too.
Cisgender.
We went to the gay bar the other night. Well, you didn't come.
I didn't come.
But I went out and I couldn't believe, like, I don't know if you're experiencing this in LA. Well, you now live sometimes in LA, sometimes in New York.
Bicostal.
But
Bicostal.
I couldn't believe, like, everyone here is like so hot. Like, I went to the gay bar and I was like, oh, forget it. Like, if I'm like a New York whatever number, like, bump me down 5.
Everybody is so good looking in LA.
That's
and
tough.
And women too, it's like everybody is like thin, tan, blonde.
Yeah.
And I mean, truly, like, everybody, even just look, oh, this is mean.
But be mean, girl.
Be mean.
I was going to say, this is so mean.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, look at the performer pages.
I know. No. You're right. And everyone knows it.
You're right.
There's a difference.
It's like, we got some TV faces in LA. And
they're
in New
on
York,
TV.
We got writers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and they are on TV, and that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, most of them.
But
good for them.
I think it's like an active lifestyle. Well, I am a New York person through and fucking through.
Oh, same.
When people do a like 9:30 show, or, you know, like a UCB show ends at like 9:30 or whatever, and it's like, what's everybody doing? And it's like, going home. I actually need to wake up early and tomorrow morning for Pilates. It's like, okay.
Meanwhile, it's like, you do like a 10:30 show on a Tuesday at UCB. We're going to the bar.
It
doesn't matter what's happening.
Right.
But we did a show.
But it ages you. It really ages you.
Sure.
Sudi, Bowen, and I are having what we call the Summer of Cunt with a K, where we're all going to get very attractive and snatched.
Oh.
If you want to join.
Oh, my God.
If you want to join.
I can't wait.
We should add you to the text thread. Summer of Cunt text thread, and just tell each other, like, what we're doing. Like, the other day, I almost had a slice of pizza, but I texted them and I didn't. They're like, it's like AA.
Yeah.
Or like my sponsor.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
But I've eaten lots of pizza while I was here, actually.
Well, the like main issue in LA for me is I'm a fourth mealer before it was a thing.
I got
that midnight meal, baby.
Right before you go to sleep, right?
Yes,
of course. When I'm hungriest.
Of course. The amount of times.
Fill me up.
The amount of times I have woken up with remnants of sandwich on my bare naked chest. Truly, turkey slices all day, every day. Or just like
chicken salad, baby. That's mine. On my body.
Word salad is in the equation.
I used to do tuna salad.
Oh.
A bit before I did tuna salad because it was like $2 a container. But then a girlfriend of mine, Sue Galloway, was like, you're going to get mercury poisoning. Because I was eating like a container, like truly resting it on my chest, eating like with my bare hands
like Jeremy Piven.
Until I would fall asleep.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like 4 or 5 days a week.
Oh my God. Mine is fucking pretzels.
Oh, I love pretzels.
Love pretzels.
I'll sleep with a bag of pretzels.
Hard pretzels. Like not even like.
What kind? Like, Bavarian?
Okay. Do you know
Bavarian
like,
twist?
No,
Bavarian
like, twist? I love not even like twist. The plastic bag of pretzels. Okay. It's like a hard plastic little like tin that you get from like CVS.
And the pretzel rings.
They're like hard pretzels. I don't know. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you later.
Take a picture.
Okay. Well, I'm all about the rods.
Yeah, I love the rods.
The rods, love a rod.
All about the rods. Title of ep. Let me tell you.
Okay, and now look at the beauty glow up that we're all experiencing. Fran, you came in.
Oh, yes.
You kind of Streisand affected this. It's not exactly a Streisand effect, but we wouldn't have noticed this if you didn't mention that. You're wearing a baseball cap. You're like, here's where I'm at.
She sits down and she goes. I said, oh, I have the same hat, but it says New York. Like, I had a stupid opening line. And then she goes, I have to tell you why I'm wearing the hat.
Yeah.
And you had terror in your eyes. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God.
Still do.
I was like, she's going to take the hat off and she's going to be bald.
Would you be weirded out if I took the hat off and my hair here was connected to the hat? And you guys, so I take the hat off, but the hair was part of the hat.
Honestly.
And then you're just like, what? And I'm like, I have to complain. I've never had hair. It's always been attached to a hat. And you guys are like, you're thinking back, like full Kaiser Soze, like, wait, we've never seen Fran without a hat.
Oh my God.
My hair's connected to the hat.
Yeah. But I was
that's
like,
that's my
I was like, the only explanation for what she's gonna say right now is that she's bald. Like the terror in
but
your eyes.
Then the explanation was microblading.
Yes, it's true.
Fran, talk everyone through
what
that.
Is it?
Okay, so basically in my lift over here, I was like, just don't bring it up. Nobody, just don't do it. Just like,
oh my God.
Who cares? Just like, don't bring it up. And then I come in here and I'm like, we've got a problem, gentlemen.
I'm literally,
please
you go,
sit down, please
you
sit
go,
down.
I literally, I'm not gonna tell you this, but here it is.
I don't wanna tell you, but please sit down, gentlemen.
Yeah. Microblading, what is it?
Microblading is when you tattoo your eyebrows on.
Okay, and so talk about
and why I get the procedure. Yeah,
I was gonna say,
thank you
we,
so much.
We didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about the rationale leading into the procedure, right?
Okay, well, here I don't put thought into anything. I don't do research beforehand.
Uh-huh.
I got an IUD without doing any research.
Oh my
went
God.
Alone. This is years ago. Went alone. Didn't know that it was like basically 1/4 as painful as childbirth. Went alone because I hadn't done the research.
Oh my God.
Got an IUD and they were like, you're probably going to be like laid up for a few days. I was like, dope. I have a show tonight that I will do. They gave me like Vicodin and I was like, okay, I'll trust you. But that is just like, that's just to say, I don't research anything. I don't put the time into it. I'm just like, life will find a way.
I'm like,
it will all work out. Just like, go ahead and do it. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah, I'll power through.
Yeah, exactly. Well, microblading, turns out, was done by a doctor who had like microscope glasses on. And I was like, sorry, what's happening here? And first of all,
I just want thicker brows. I can use a pen for this.
Please. And I have been for years. The rationale was I'm bored and was like, what can I do that will like distract me?
And cost money.
Yeah, it cost money. It was like, I basically have no eyebrows and all it took was two girlfriends being like, oh, you should get microblading. And I was like, okay. And then I heard it like another time and I was like, yeah, that's happening. And
all it takes is two times.
I truly, two separate occasions in the last week, someone's like, oh, just do microblading. I was like, and it's done.
It came in, it was fate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically they thread dye into your eyebrows and what I found out after the procedure, your eyebrows completely just like absolutely pour blood. like I'm not able to
look into your own eyes.
Yeah, good. Okay. I'm not able to see what's happening because there's no mirror, but I do see her gloves are getting covered in blood. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, sorry, what else is happening? Also, I had to numb my eyebrows, which is like, what's happening? Like, why did I do this?
Oh my God.
But so your eyebrows like look super, super dark and also scab. And also you basically look bad for a week.
Oh.
But here's the thing. I think you look
you
good.
You look good.
No. I said this outside and it's the perfect analogy. It's like I'm wearing pajamas but also heels. It's like one thing
fine.
It's like one thing where I'm like trying, mm-hmm. but then like if you're not trying, like
the rest of the way.
I remember one time I like saw a picture of who's the person in Elizabeth Banks. Yeah. I saw a picture of Elizabeth Banks with like almost white blonde hair, and I said to Sudi, should I do white blonde hair? And she's like, no, you'll have to wear makeup every day. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
Oh my God, yeah, because, how like, insightful. Yeah.
I can't Sudi, because I'm not doing that. I'm not wearing makeup every day. I won't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But now that I have, I mean, truly two bloody caterpillars that are now living on my forehead.
Weren't you blonde?
I was blonde.
You were,
but
yeah.
not like white blonde. It was like, yeah, I was blonde.
Because all of a sudden when you said that, I pictured you with like white blonde hair and I was like, no, I feel like I remember that. But then I was like, no, because then you would have to put on so much makeup.
And I did. When I was like blonde, I definitely had to wear more makeup. But then it was like, I started SNL, truly just the blonde all, I think fell out in one day. Mm. And
because of just sheer panic.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually turned white.
Oh, I have no hair now. No job, no hair.
That's me. All my blonde hair fell out and it was just like, yeah, I'm not wearing makeup and I don't have blonde hair anymore. But it is very funny because people will like not know my name, who I've like spent thousands of hours with, yes, because my hair's a different color.
Oh my
like
God.
If I haven't seen, because I lived in LA, I would say like under 2 years, like a year and a half maybe, before moving back to New York.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And people, friends I made in that time, will be like, hey, I'm like, it's Fran. It was just, and you just, it's like absolutely no ego when you're like,
yeah,
my name is Fran. We actually do know each other very, very,
very well.
It's just, yeah, different hair color. It's just so funny when people are like, hey Andy. Yeah, uh-huh. Just me, Fran, many hours spent together.
But did you like having, this is your natural hair color now.
Yeah.
Did you like having a blonde hair?
Yeah, it kind of made me feel like,
lighter?
I mean,
different.
I dyed it right before I moved to LA and it made me feel, yeah, like I would say dumber and also got more attention.
Yeah.
Really?
Doesn't that suck?
It could have been completely psychosomatic, but I got way more attention.
Sure.
I bet it's not psychosomatic. Truly? Like, I guarantee that guys are just that dumb. Like, oh, blonde.
It's true.
I talk to blonde.
Well, you know what's so funny is at bars, mm-hmm. or like at a party, it would be like a different type of attention where a dude would be like, can I grab you a drink? Instead of like, I mean, when you're like a brunette, I mean, now nobody hits on me, but like back then when I was a brunette, it would be like, you know what I mean? Like, you watch Killing Eve. And, but then when I was blonde, it was like,
oh God.
When I was blonde, it was just like no effort. Absolutely. Like,
yeah, sure. I'll take a drink. Yeah.
Dang.
Unreal.
Totally different attention.
Yes.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. 8 to 10 hours. You know, I always look forward to getting my 8 to 10 hours of what do you think I'm talking about?
8 to 10 hours of exercise.
No, I wish. I wish I was a machine like that. No, I'm talking about sleep.
Wait a minute. But the way you sleep is different from the way I sleep.
Oh, well, the good news is, Bowen, we can both get what we need from Helix Sleep Mattress and Pillow, bitch.
I love Helix Sleep Mattress and Pillow, mm-hmm. because they work with the world's leading sleep experts, and they've developed a mattress that's customized to your specific height, weight, and sleep preferences, so you can have the best sleep of your life at an unbeatable price.
Okay, so here's how it works, people. You go to helixsleep.com, fill out their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll design your custom mattress. They can even customize each side of the mattress for you and a partner if you guys have different situations. options in terms of how you like to lay.
How you like to lay. And I think we've talked about this before on the pod. It's 2 gigs in one mattress.
2 gigs in one mattress. And you rarely get 2 gigs in one.
Oh, no. I'm lucky if I get 1 gig a month. You know what I mean?
Oh, da-day. You know, in 2018, Helix Sleep has taken customized sleep to the next level with the Helix Pillow.
The all-new pillows are fully adjustable, so you can achieve perfect comfort regardless of sleep position or body type.
Helix Sleep has thousands of 5-star reviews, plus you get 100 nights to try them out. This is the gig, people. 100 nights to try these mattresses and pillows out for free. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable deal.
Unbelievable deal. I love the quiz, the 2-minute quiz, and the mattress. I cannot wait to get this mattress.
Luscious.
Because I bought a new bed frame.
Ooh.
I cannot wait to move up to a queen size, honey.
Did you buy a new bed frame?
I did. Queen for queen. And I can't wait for this fully customizable gig, darling.
Mm-hmm. Here's the call to action. Here is the call to action, everyone. Are you ready for the call to action? Go to helixsleep.com/lasculturistas right now and get up to $125 toward your mattress order, which is a chunk of change. Come into the stage. Chunk of change.
Chunk of change. That's helixsleep.com/lasculturistas for up to $125 off your mattress order.
helixsleep.com/lasculturistas for your sleep do sleep. I felt different when I was born. Yeah, you felt like guys were approaching you?
Not that guys were approaching me, but that people would approach me in a more like they were more compelled to speak to me. They were like, hi, wow, I love your hair. And like, you know, it would just be like a confidence boost.
The only time I ever dyed my hair was I dyed my hair jet black in college to do like a part.
I honestly don't think it looked good on you.
I thought it looked so good, but it changed. I looked in the mirror and the Sudi was like, it's bad. Yeah. You look bad. And I sometimes mention wanting to do it again. And she's like, don't, because remember, it was bad. Sudi will always give you the tea.
What was the...
It was called Marat Saad. It was like a performance of the assassination of Jean-Paul Marat by...
The
Marquis de Sade, and it was like a punk rock musical version that Liz Suedos was doing at NYU.
Okay.
Like, and it was just like crazy. And I was playing the Marquis de Sade.
So naturally, congrats.
Because
Real
big booking.
She booked.
And it was controversial because I was a dramatic writing student doing it as a drama mainstay.
Very High School Musical.
Controversial, and I got a lot of shade from the musical theater kids who wanted the role.
Wow.
But I had a relationship with the director, Liz Suedos, and so I got the part. Thank you, Liz. Rest in peace, Liz. But I thought, I'm playing an evil character. We must dye my hair black.
Right. Of course, that means mean.
So I went and dyed my hair black. And I had just seen the movie Black Swan.
Oh, good.
And I had a bad interaction with a voice teacher.
Uh-huh.
I did the scene in Black Swan where she like menacingly marches to like Lincoln Center to go dance. I swear to God, I had black hair. I became an evil person.
Like,
I was just like storming in, like, and I walked in and like I told everyone I just had a fight with my voice teacher and my hair is black. And this will be the performance of my life. And I went and gave like a fine performance because I didn't know how to like sing or do anything. But having black hair like changed me chemically.
Yeah.
And so now whenever I'm like, I kind of do want to like dye my hair and do something fun, but I can't do black hair because it literally changes me inside. Like, it makes me mean. Whereas, well, like, I want to be blonde because I want to be fun, but I already feel fun.
Microblading has changed me. Now I'm a shell of a person. I don't want to do anything. Went to a party last night, absolutely the entire time was just like, could only think about it. Like, you're like, oh, what are you doing this summer? I'm like, well, eyebrows. For one thing, eyebrows.
For one thing. I'm the same way as you. Like, when you came in and couldn't help it, that's how I was. Yeah. I was telling you guys, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had like a herpes scare where I really thought I had herpes, and I've since found out I do not, although it is fine if you do. I love you and support. But everyone knows, everyone knew that I thought I had herpes. Everyone, like extended friends of mine, I was like, how are you? And like, they were like, good, how's things are going on? Good, how are you? It's like, probably have herpes.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, it's just sometimes you gotta wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah, like, and also you wanna like get out in front of it.
Yeah. Like, I know, it's like the worst thing in the entire world is for me to find out that people are talking about my eyebrows behind my back. So I'm like, do it in front of my face.
Yeah. You wanna be in on the joke. I think it's like a thing of like never having feeling cool and like, you know, like that kind of deal where it's like, you have to just get ahead of it. You got to be on top of the
joke. Right. And I also, like, I, you know, I was never cool, which is why I think I was a bully. But I'm like, I also get bullied because I'm a bully and also had many siblings and like just was bullied and became a big bad bully. And so I'm like, well, you can't bully me. You tell me. What are you talking about?
Do you identify as a bully now?
Yes.
Really?
That's why you and Sudi get along.
Absolutely. Like sometimes...
No.
Truly, I will just go in on someone.
Yeah.
Only friends.
Yes, right.
Like, it hurts to be close to me. Because, only friends rip them to shreds. And then, truly, sometimes it will just be like, dude, you're, like, mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, when you get, and especially when you get with someone else that's like that.
Oh.
It's like, baby.
But then you have to be able to take it.
Like, yeah, no, you must. You do. And I feel, you can probably take it, right?
I mean... I actually think I can. I'm not one of those people where it's like, then I get insulted and all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, you broke the rule.
No.
I'm getting insulted all the fucking time.
Yeah, I'm like, duh.
I put a target on my back because I'm throwing darts all the time.
It
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And also like, I truly think you can't say something about me that I haven't already thought about myself.
Right. Yeah.
And if it's like anything you think about me, I've already heard it or like I've already thought it. I mean, I bully people, but it would never be in a cruel way.
Yeah, no, it's always gotta be fun.
Sometimes when I'm like dipping into that water with like, I'm, you know, I've gotten to a point with a friend where it's like, and now I'm just ripping their ass to shreds.
Right. Yeah, and then
I like see their face fall and I need to be like, I'm only doing it because I love you.
Yeah. I'm only destroying
abusive.
You because
that
I love
that
you.
Is like textbook,
it is abuse.
Textbook abuse. Wait, okay, but what, okay, so to go back to the thing of like, you can take it, like you have to be able to take it. Does it matter who it's coming from? Like, let's say it was Sudi or like a friend, close collaborator, whatever. If Sudi were to say something like, a gut punch to you, like
it wouldn't be a gut punch.
She talked about this on her episode because we just had an episode with her and she said that now it's like at the point with you guys where like funny you said something, well, like you can just be like, no, that's not funny,
right?
And it's like we move on.
It's not a
that's
gut
how
punch.
She and I always were too when we ran Hammer Cats.
Well, I gotta say, like, time is not on your side at SNL,
right?
And so
right
you don't really have time to be like, maybe that could work. Let's think about it. It's like, dude, TikTok, bitch.
Yeah,
like, we gotta turn this in.
Yeah.
Like, we literally need to do things in a
like
time
that.
Frame where it's like, I don't have time to think about
there's
this.
There's no room for humanity.
No. And so now there's just a shorthand where it's like, no. And there will be times where, like, we will not have the same opinion.
Right.
And sometimes it's like one person's got to give. And I do think that there's like a 50-50 there where it's like, sometimes she gives, sometimes I give. Because it's like, if we're absolutely not on the same page and it's like, dude, you can push it. And then, you know, it's like, give it a minute. And then one person has to be like, we have to move on.
Yep.
We have to move forward because we don't have time to be doing
this.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, Sudi would never. Oh, one time, this is not mean because this is a full example.
Yeah.
I came into work and Sudi was like, "You need to get natural light in your bathroom where you do your makeup."
Oh my, that is me.
But it was true.
And it's helpful.
It was true.
She's one of the few people who will do that.
She is. It was true.
I like went to the bathroom and it was like the bronzer looked crazy.
Yeah.
And it was like a Monday pitch day where like you're going to be with every single one of your coworkers speaking in front of them. And I looked like, and she was right. I didn't have natural light in my bathroom. I mean, she didn't even know, but she was like, you got to get natural light where you're doing your makeup. I was like, oh yeah.
She told me that doesn't
hurt my feelings.
No, it doesn't. It's a good note. Like, she told me one day, she looks at me and she goes, I have to tell you something. The difference when you don't have facial hair and when you do is crazy. You don't look good with facial hair. Don't have it. And I was like, okay. And now I'm always shaved. And sometimes I'll go hang out with her and I'll be like, I have to shave.
Oh.
Because I'm scared of her. I'm scared of my wife.
Here's the thing. She's never like really like read me for filth, like hygiene appearance wise. And maybe that just means that that's not where our friendship's at.
Ooh. I mean, that is the thing. It's like, if I haven't bullied you, it probably means that I
don't
feel
care.
We're just
not close enough.
Right. And also, like, I also have scary friends that I wouldn't bully because I think that when I would open that door, it would come back to me in a way where I'm like, oh, no, 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 no,
and
no.
And also, maybe is there someone out there who like you could become close with who's like better at that than you? Dang. It's like, if you want, oh, you want to cut people down? Here we go.
But I bully people about like insane shit that I know just gets under their skin. Like, yeah. I went to Disneyland a couple days ago.
Oh my God, we almost went.
We were supposed to go on Sunday.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, it truly, you're never going to have a bad time there.
No.
But at the end of the day, we'd been together like 10-12 hours, and at the end of the day I was with Kyle Mooney, and he's like, all right, I gotta go grab my backpack from the lockers. And I was like, oh, what? And he's like, my backpack's in the lockers. And I never dropped it. I mean, for 2 days I've been like, and you're a guy who puts his backpack in the locker. Like, it's not an insult, but I know it's bothering him.
But I
renting a locker at Disneyland, because was coming from San Diego,
right?
And then coming straight to LA, so he had a backpack of like, you know, like 4 nights worth of clothes that he locked in a locker at Disneyland, and but kept it a secret until last minute. And I was like, that's psycho. You're a psycho.
I don't know him, but I was on the same flight as him. I sat 6 rows behind him, and at the end of the flight, all he had checked in the above carriage was a skateboard.
No.
And I thought it was so funny. I was like, he has no bags. He only has a skateboard, bitch. I live.
See, I would definitely go in on that. But then last night I show up to the party and I was wearing this hat, and he's like, looks like the Sandlot's here. I was like, oh man.
I love it.
Bullies, bullies, bullies.
I said, you know what?
If only you knew that that was attached to there. Right.
Then it'd be a whole other level. The thing about some people, though, is like sometimes I have a hard time like reading Sudi, especially now that the bitch has money and she buys like good clothes and like wears good shoes and like, you know, look snatched. I'm always like, damn, bitch. Like, now you get like the better job than me and more money and you look better. Well, fuck you.
But you can't resent her for that.
No,
because now she's using her position.
But
for
I do feel like I will get to a point where I can be like, I've and like for maybe a 6 month period, also, I'll be like,
you're also, I mean, like you're presenting different genders. Like, it doesn't, you're not competing against each other.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying I would love to be able to be a bully again to her.
Do you feel?
Oh, sure. You can still, believe me, people definitely still bully. It's like, I think more fun to be like, oh, you think you're somebody now. Like, more fun for people to like try, you know, be like,
snatch
your face to latch on to.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Do you feel like, do you ever get comfortable working at SNL, or is it always a panic?
Oh, God. Do I get comfortable working at SNL?
Like, do you feel like you walk in the, you, because you ever walk in the building and are like, yeah, this is work, or is it always just a little bit like, okay, it's Saturday Night Live?
Well, I will say that the work schedule is, on average, let's just say you work 3 weeks in a row and then get 2 weeks off.
Right.
Then you work 3 weeks in a row, get 2 weeks off. You know, give or take. Sometimes you only get 1 week off. Sometimes you only work 2 weeks in a row, whatever. Sometimes you work 4 weeks in a row. And so the work schedule is such that, like, by the end of a run, like in week three out of three, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But also just like, I have spent now, at the end of 3 weeks, say I spent 120 hours there a week.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of 3 weeks, I've been there more. It's the only thing I've been doing, thinking about, whatever. So it's not like, okay, I'm comfortable now. It's more just like, this is what needs to be happening. Let's go.
But then
you get a hiatus very regularly. That's like, it's incredible. You get these like hiatuses where you just like sleep and watch TV. But then day one, when you go back, it's like
always a jarring reset.
Yeah. And it's, I always feel like
crazy.
I always feel like sick to my stomach. The day, because you're resetting and it's like, yeah, I haven't been here for however many days, but now I'm starting over. Like, and really every week can, like, it doesn't matter what you did the week before.
Right, because I hear about this.
There's another week to do work. And so it's like a reset every week. But if you've been on hiatus and then you come back, it's always just like, okay, and now I'm in the mindset. And, you know, there's 21 episodes a year. Mm-hmm. And so you get like 7 hiatuses. So that's like 7 times
cycles.
Or like, I don't even know how many, but you're just like completely resetting every time you go back. And that is the hardest day. And also the week begins with pitch.
Right.
Yeah. And pitch is really nerve wracking.
Yeah, that's because you get like just a couple seconds to be able to impress somebody and everybody.
And like, It is a very strange room where, like, sometimes things work where you're like, I can't believe that worked. And sometimes things bomb.com and it's like, why? You can't figure out why.
Yeah.
And I've worked there 3 years and it's like, there's not a perfect formula. I mean, and we're just talking about a Monday pitch, but like, there's no perfect formula. And that's the way the week begins, where you like are with all your coworkers, the host is there, all the producers, obviously Lauren, and it's like, okay, every week starts with like, I hope I say something that makes people laugh.
That sets,
the tone for the rest of the week. Yeah.
It's so wild. That is never, I'm never comfortable at pitch.
I mean, the first time you ever did that had to feel fucking insane.
Well, actually, that is the craziest thing is when I, and I think a lot of people feel this way, but when I started at SNL, I was my most confident.
Really?
Wow.
Because I had just gotten hired at SNL.
Right.
And like, you know, it happened and like you walk in and it's like, oh my God, I'm here.
Yeah.
But you see that a lot. When people are new, they're like, the beginning of the year, everybody's the most confident because they don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And then it was like, the more I knew, the more like, it just becomes more intimidating the more you know.
Yeah. Wow. So does the atmosphere like wildly change based on the host? Or is that kind of like...
Not really.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, only if the host is a super extreme in bad or good.
Yeah, right.
Or this year there were some hosts that were friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a wild feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, that really changed.
Donald.
Yeah. That like an old
so
friend.
Cool.
It was really cool, but you know, he's someone I hung out with every day for years, and then not at all.
Right.
And you know, every time I see him, it's great, and you know, it's totally natural to be hanging out. But then it was like, okay, he's coming to host. He is a legit superstar.
Yeah, like, seriously. And then that was such an insane week for him too, because that was when This Is America was like exploding. And now
This Is America got released during the show.
Yeah. I remember I went down and got to watch that performance on the floor and I was like, this feels different. You know what I mean? Like there was something going on. And it's just so crazy to think about him and his trajectory, because he was someone where when I was in dramatic writing in Hammercats, he was like my sort of like an idol, because it was like he was like ahead of me and like did both of those things and like wrote on 30 Rock. And it's like so crazy to think about why you sort of like looked up to him then why millions of people around the world look up to him now.
But it is truly wild for me, because like you just don't really have a sense of how famous somebody is.
Right.
Especially if it's just like, well, it's just Donald. But then it's like, not really. I mean,
it's also Childish Gambino.
Yeah. Right. But it was very fun having him host. That was great. But like, if a host is incredible or awful, but really that happens so infrequently.
Right.
Will Ferrell was an incredible host. And I think everybody just felt like, happy that week, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, of course it does.
He was like so personable.
You feel safe.
He was so nice.
Yeah.
But the cast has so much interaction with the host that I think that affects their week more, because, you know, like...
they have to legit work with them in the scenes.
They're with them. Yeah. But... Yeah, so an extreme host, I think, can change the temperature, but it doesn't really happen a lot. I mean, for the most part, like... A host is a very, very famous person that you won't really talk to a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So was it always like a thing for you? Like, was that like where you wanted to be, SNL? Or were you like everyone where it's like, well, I guess that's what it's all leading up to is SNL.
I'm telling you, I have like no brain cells and don't really think about anything.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, everything will work out. And
it happened.
Well, I think about it now and I'm like, I can't believe how lucky I am, or how lucky I got, because like I mean obviously I was at UCB for years. I saw everyone around me get hired and get work. It never really bothered me. I was never like, damn, like, I was never like drinking poison and expecting it to kill my enemies. I was never like really, because I think I'm like stupid. I'm like not thinking about that. I'm like, good, she got the movie. Like, I'm not like, how can I strategize to also get work?
Right.
I'm
Oh, I've never good for done you. That. I relate to that. So yeah, go on. Sorry.
I really am just not strategizing.
Right. Because you don't expect, like, it's like that thing of like, well, I don't expect it to happen for me, so I wouldn't dare be jealous or like covetous of a position someone else has, because it's like, I'll just keep doing my thing. I'm already surprised it's working.
I truly think that for me, it's like, you know, I don't have room in my brain to be like thinking beyond just like, and tonight I'll do show and tomorrow I'll do podcast.
I don't,
but then, you know, I was working at Funny or Die, and I was like, it was the summer, and I was like, you know what? I think I'd like to submit to SNL.
Yeah.
And I had, because I had been working at Funny or Die,
you had sketches.
Just had sketches. Stopped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it just was like, here we go. There's a packet already there.
Yeah. I actually had applied a few years earlier and didn't get hired.
Yeah.
And then didn't apply for a few years. And then I was like, I already have the sketches.
Yeah, so why not?
Right. And so I applied.
And that was the year.
And that was the year.
Whenever that packet comes around every year, I'm always freaked out. Because I'm always like, I know I can write sketches, but it's like, because I'm supposed to do it for this show and like there's a deadline on it, it's like all of a sudden I'm like, my brain just breaks.
I honestly think that it just helped so much that I was just like looking at a backlog of things I already had.
Yeah,
I think
sitting
down and being like, I have one day to think of commercial parody, like, which is how the show actually
works. Right.
I think when you're thinking about writing a packet, it's just like, I don't know.
If you're making a case for yourself to these people who like don't know you, then like just put your best stuff in there.
Yeah. I think it's a really, submitting a writing packet, I just, it does not work in people's favors.
No.
I mean, that's why just having like a writing sample, like a pilot you're proud of, I think is probably more helpful than like, okay, and we need one topical joke, one joke about Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Like,
Brett Favre.
Also, what I think happens is when you get the late night packets, and maybe this is too inside baseball, but you look at the host and they'll you try to write in their voice, and that sucks.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's so hard because it's really hard. A lot of times you watch these shows, and no shade, but like there aren't a lot of jokes in the monologue. It's just the host being their whatever version of their charm
or
itself.
Or the voice is like not specific, but
writing packets are so hard.
They're really hard. And also like, I mean, I don't know how to be good at it. Is it just like, I don't know whether or not it's better to like write a seamless packet that's in the voice, regardless of whether or not you like it, or to give them yourself. I think it's probably a mixture of both.
Yeah.
And then it's funny to see who gets hired on these shows. And some of these people have such specific voices.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'll mention Julio Torres.
Yes.
Like, he has such a specific voice. And you would never think, like, that he would ever compromise that. And on the show, he has not compromised that.
No.
And you think, so his packet couldn't have been, like, a Saturday Night Live packet. It had to be a Julio packet because that's what makes him so iconically special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to. I don't have facts, but I think Julio didn't submit a packet because he was hired at the end of, he was hired as a guest writer
at the end
of me and Sudi's first season, I think based off an audition.
You're right.
And so, I mean, this is like talking about a very specific person who has like such an incredible and unique and hysterical voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think.
That's the thing is also, I shouldn't even think too hard about like what works for everyone because literally something different is going to work for everybody.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's the biz.
Fran, we're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
Which is, what is the culture that made you say, culture is for me? I'm doing a Fran Gillespie voice.
It was like the pop culture where something in your life that was like, this happened and you experienced this, like a movie or a television show or like
a book, a
musical artist or something where you were like, oh, I'm defined. Now I know who I am.
Ugh, I guess I have an answer, but it's lame.
No, I love it.
Titanic.
Yeah! Oh my God. Titanic was huge for me too.
Titanic was the thing that made me like, that opened the door to all of show business for
me.
Titanic, okay. So I wasn't really allowed to watch TV growing up. I could watch one show a week, and it was The Simpsons. And
good one.
But nice. I would go to movies a lot. But I also wasn't allowed to have magazines that had the word sex on the cover or sexy.
Right.
Wow.
Like, I wasn't allowed to have, like, a, like, you know, YM or 17.
Yep, all those. Yeah.
The covers would be like porn. 10 ways yeah. to blow him to smithereens. Or you know what
and
I mean?
It's like Chad Michael Murray shirtless and it's like tomato red nipples. And it's just like, this is erotic.
Nuts.
It's truly like they were out of control. Yeah. And
Teen
I was,
People had Sean William Scott like fully fucking naked. Okay,
iconic iconic cover. Yeah.
Amazing
yeah.
cover.
But the thing was, it was like, it made sense. I wasn't allowed to get those magazines, but I was like 9, you know, or like 8 or 9 or whatever. And I wanted these magazines because I became so obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Absolutely.
That I just wanted every single magazine that even there would be like an insert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I became really, really obsessed with those like teen magazines, and I would babysit. Of course, I was like, could be in charge of an infant, but like couldn't look at the word sex.
Yeah,
but
right,
I was like
exactly.
babysitting all the time, and I would use my babysitting money to go to the corner store and buy all these magazines and just hide them under my bed. And I would read, every single one. And they came out, well, Teen People came out every week. Oh no, a lot of them were monthly.
Yeah,
yeah they were.
But I would get like 10 a month yeah. and then cut out the photos and make photo albums.
Yep.
But in like a nice photo album.
Yeah. He was so iconically yeah. hot. Like, oh my God.
I had 2 Titanic posters that I absolutely would kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I was so obsessed with him. I bought the VHS. It was a double.
Yeah.
Because uh-huh.
yeah,
you know what I mean?
The movie was long.
Did the first tape end after the car fucking scene? Was it like right after?
I think it was.
No. I remember.
No, because they do that late in the movie.
The first tape ends. No, I think the fucking is in the first tape.
Yeah, fucking's definitely in the first tape.
They fuck, and then the first tape, I believe, and Culturistas listeners, if you can contest this, let me know. I believe it's after like the glass with the water starts shaking. Like that's the moment that it cuts off.
Wow,
like,
good intermission.
After the iceberg hits.
There, yeah. Sound of Music was a double VHS.
Yes.
And I would stop after the first one because the second one was all about Nazis.
Right.
So I would just always stop after Diane Lees and only got that little. And I was like, and the movie's over.
Oh my God,
wonderful.
Julie Andrews is here.
It's Julie.
And she got her voice back.
I was like, the movie ended. Good.
It ends on
a puppet show.
Did experiencing Titanic, the movie, also cause you to want to know everything about the actual
Oscars?
Ship itself?
Oh.
Well, the Oscars, yeah, but...
Not the ship itself.
I knew everything.
I bought books about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
Like, books that were clearly made in, like, 3 or 4 hours, where it's like, and he's popular now.
Yep.
And then it was just like... And then,
oh my God, yes, those books.
But then I would watch, like, Basketball Diaries, which I was like, didn't like as a movie, but I was like, and he's here.
Yeah.
Good. Like, I was so obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio. And then it just... That was probably, God, I would have been like 6th grade, maybe 5th grade. Maybe 5th grade. And that just launched me. And I was completely fucking boy crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
In general?
Oh, no.
Just for Leo.
Celeb boy crazy. NSYNC. It was like 98 degrees.
Yeah.
Backstreet Boys. I truly became the most extra person. It was like constantly... I just found this locket that I had. It was like a year ago, but I have found this locket. I was like, oh, I wonder whose pictures I put inside. Oh, up. It is Leonardo DiCaprio and Usher. So
yeah,
we've
good
got
ones.
Like,
God.
But so I like cut their little faces out, put them in this locket, and I was like wearing Usher and Leo every day. Just like,
on your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like a locket I got for like my first communion or whatever. And I was so fucking boy crazy. And celebrity culture crazy. But what's insane is I didn't even watch TV. I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
So I'm like worshiping Matthew Fox from Party of Five.
Holy shit.
No clue what the show's about.
Yeah, no
just
idea.
Like,
just hot.
And
just
I'm
cute.
In for him.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw that Tear It Not My Heart music video with Justin Timberlake on that bed in the white wife.
Yeah.
The white, like, oh my God, I almost called it a wife beater. That's where, like, my Long Islandness comes
sure,
out.
Sure, sure.
What would you call that? Tank?
Uh-huh.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Like, and he just, like, was, like, so sexualized. And he was, had to be, what, 16, 17 years old? That changed, like, something
and
in
had,
me chemically.
Like, ramen noodle hair.
Oh, yeah.
Ramen,
but it didn't matter. He was the hottest person I'd ever seen in my life.
I know.
And, like... Then coming into school and all the girls were talking about him and I had to be like, I hate Justin Timberlake. I hate him because my body was just fighting with itself. It's like, that's no, you have to kill this. It was just so, oh my God. But I was, if I had been allowed to be, I would have been boy crazy too.
I mean, it was just, I was just poring over these like pop culture magazines and like, even like Z-Bop. Like I was going so crazy. And I think that that is when, and now I'm like so obsessed with like reading Us Weekly just cover to cover, and I don't know why. I don't care.
Well, because it, now it's just like so stupid. I think it's so funny. Like,
it's fun.
The what they think are jokes in Fashion Police. But like,
can I,
oh my
can
God!
I tell you, like growing up, like
I thought it was so funny.
We get Us Weekly, and then like as this fucking 9-year-old, I'd be like, first thing I would turn to was Fashion Police.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, what did they say this?
Because it was comedy. Like I remember, but it wasn't. But there was.
It's just kind of like, and this coat's yellow.
It's bitchiness. It's just like, I don't like this, and here's a pithy take on it. I remember one time, like
they're all rude.
It was probably like
so
some
mean.
Insane celebrity, like Maria Conchita Alonso, like was in like a fucking fluffy thing, and I'll never forget how hard I laughed. I couldn't get over it for 2 days. I was telling my mom about it until she had to tell me to like, shut the fuck up. The caption was, "How many Muppets do you think died to make this outfit?"
God.
And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. I remember
it's barely
to this
a
day.
Joke.
Barely,
it's hack
it's the
as
word
hell.
Muppets and the
how many
have image
to
of
die.
Them dying.
It's
dark.
You know, I was obsessed with Traumarama. That was something in 17 where it was like, I had my period all over my mouth. And then it was like,
That's like very Dresden. That's a Dresden joke. That's an Anna Dresden tweet. I had my period all over my mouth. 500 likes.
Traumarama truly was just like, on my second date with my uncle, all of a sudden, my...
Wait, where was this from? Traumarama?
17.
Wait, the title of this episode is going to be Traumarama.
Yeah. Oh, but they were all bad. And like every third one was just like period shame. It was like.
I got my period all over my
My second date.
It's true. It's just they're all so stupid. But I like, I ate it the fuck up. And I still like, I just can't. Every time I'm in an airport, I'm getting like. Us Weekly. You know, I had a subscription to Us Weekly, and then I was like, this cannot go on.
Wait, how long ago?
For years.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I think I cut it off maybe like when I was like going back and forth between LA and New York too much and was like missing too many. No, I think I probably cut it off like a year ago. But here's the thing. A year subscription is like they pay you.
Right.
And like it's nothing. It's
nothing.
No money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I will shove... like an $8 Us Weekly. I'm like, can I get two? Just one to sit on. Like, but then if you would like have a subscription to a magazine, it's truly like $1 a year.
Cents. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I can't have a subscription because I know, like, I haven't read a book in like 6 or 7 years, but I could like tell you that like Lincoln from this season of The Bachelorette has a history of assault. You
and,
know what I mean?
And you read that on the page. You read it on the fucking
page.
Wait,
but true or false? Like, Us Weekly actually used to be like a People level. Like, you could go to it for real news, and now it's fully a tabloid.
Well, People's fully a tabloid.
People is?
People's a full tabloid, except you're going to get a serial killer like every other
issue. Yeah, right.
It's like, she didn't know her daughter was a dog. It's like... People has like a human interest story, but that makes it like journalism.
Well, that's the thing. Right, it's like this week they released like a Kate Spade Anthony Bourdain thing, and it's like it's sad, but it looks like fucking they got engaged. You know what I'm saying? Like that is like the editorial treatment. It's like, oh, like all about the wedding.
Like literally,
I'm
insane. The cover of Us Weekly the other day, we were in the supermarket, like Dave and I were getting groceries at the other Airbnb, and we were like paying for it. And I look over at the like rack of magazines, and it's like Us Weekly was saying like Jen and Brad texting. And it's like, what?
It's, yeah.
How would
nuts.
You know? And also, like, this is, like, not what I remember. You know what? It's just
well, the
crazy.
Worst one is In Touch, but it's the cheapest.
Oh. But then how do you feel as a reader about In Touch?
In Touch is absolutely, like, the most rumors. It's like, is Khloe Kardashian dead? Like, it has evil stuff, too. Like, it's, like, not scared to speculate and has been sued so many times.
Wow.
Because it's just, like... And truly, it's really nasty shit.
Yeah.
It's like Sharon Stone on heroin. And you're like, just, I like get it because sometimes I've read all the other ones and it's also $3. Like Us Weekly, it will push like $6.
Yeah.
But In Touch is $2.99.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I haven't had
Catherine Zeta-Jones insane around town. Like,
yeah, it's In Touch is
yeah.
In
is it, mean.
And on the cover
life ruining mean.
They'll have mean photos.
Damn.
Like Us Weekly will never do that. In Touch will put like like a Tara Reid on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's like leave alone.
Yeah.
Like In Touch will do
Tara Reid on the beach.
I have the I haven't had like the giggles like this in so long. Just Fran just has the knack for just pulling out these random specifics.
Which one is getting you the most right now, well, bitch? She didn't know her daughter was a dog. It's good for me.
Khloe Kardashian, is she dead?
It's the question.
Traumarama said this is nuts. This is like...
Traumarama is this episode.
This is like a new form of joke. This is a new form of comedy, like
that could be an improv game, Traumarama.
Traumarama,
yeah.
Like...
Or just like making up cover stories for these rags. It's... But even the like... Truly, every section is like its own beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have, well, Us Weekly has that page where it's like, quote and quotables.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like, can you believe Ryan Seacrest said this? And it's like a picture of Ryan Seacrest. And then it's like, 2 days a week, I'll eat goldfish. And you're like, okay. And it's just like the wildest. Oh, just
it's like, no, I can't believe you said that. Fuck, where did you get it from? When did he say this? Who else is reporting that he said this? The poor goldfish.
Oh my God.
It's just like pictures of people with the quotes. But I mean, yeah, I've now.
It's in your bones. It's in your, you know.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
And Leo is to blame.
Leo's to blame.
How did loving Leo that much inform your opinion of Kate Winslet?
Oh, you know, respect. Respect.
Okay, good.
I never was jealous, and I'm glad they're still friends, but I gotta say, what you doing in the Wonder Wheel movie?
Yeah, what you doing in the Wonder Wheel movie? What you doing, like, not kind of like...
Fully
well, she also
Woody.
Worked with Roman Polanski
yeah.
on Carnage.
You
got a Carnage movie adaptation, that's two.
That Wonder Wheel movie, you gotta look at that cast and be like, you knew,
you knew
already.
Yeah, you knew. Yeah.
Who else is who
Justin
else is,
Timberlake?
Timberlake.
Who, honestly, come on. You're adding on. You're putting fans to the fire there.
But for him, it's like, okay, he doesn't do a ton of movies.
Yeah, right.
For her, it's like...
You knew.
You have options.
Give me a break. Also, she has such an incredible resume. And it's like, yeah, exactly. You have options. Like, you can't think this is a good idea.
No.
And then there was like an actress roundtable or whatever where she was like talking about Wonder Wheel and she like brought up Woody Allen or whatever and it like pans the room and to just like
pissed.
You know, like a Marion Cotillard just like face dropped, just like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still going on about
it? Yeah,
yeah,
I know where you're talking
about.
Also,
I will say this. If you are an actor that has worked with one of those directors, here's what you don't say. But I had a great experience.
Right.
That is not,
no,
it doesn't
point.
Matter. It's not the point. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We don't want to hear about how great your experience was.
Right, right.
Because your individual experience, unfortunately, doesn't literally matter. And like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
I do think, but her as an actress, I love. You ever seen Little Children?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's one of the best.
And I do like that her and Leo are friends. I mean, now I don't have a Leonardo DiCaprio thing. I also like... You know, that was for that time, and it was the gate opener to like me being absolutely just obsessed with celebrity culture.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
I don't like, I will read those magazines, but now the person I would be most excited to meet would be like JWoww, maybe.
Honestly.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I also think just as part of my job, like, I can't feel like...
Too attached
yeah, you
to
can't
celebrity.
Be intimidated.
Or you can't be like, wow, we're totally different levels of human.
Sure,
like,
yeah,
sure,
no,
sure.
You have to be able to talk to them.
And I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I do like reading all the gossipy stuff, but like, I think the person that would get me the most excited would be like, maybe Rachel Lindsay. Like, the
honestly.
Rachel Lindsay would be
Are you
great.
A Big Bachelor fan?
And huge.
Yeah. Were you with Rachel the whole time, or are you disappointed at the end?
Disappointed at the end.
Same.
Well, now, Peter Krause.
Peter. Yeah, yeah. Peter, love him.
Why wasn't he the Bachelor?
Yeah, they should have made him the Bachelor.
Because I actually know.
Do you think he has a history?
He was actually supposed to be the Bachelor, and they were going to announce it. And the thing that I heard is he gets so upset and nervous that he had to go throw up. And like it was like a thing of like the next day he was going to be on Good Morning America, and that he like literally panicked because he was like, no, this doesn't work for me. I understand that it would be good for the show and the fans want it, and I feel a lot of pressure. And he got so upset and nervous.
Respect.
Because he's a sensitive guy. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's why everyone loved him and why we thought it made the most sense, because they had such chemistry, because he's just someone
who's a good dude.
He's great.
And I mean, and remember her eyelashes still on the floor?
Oh, that was.
He's like, eyelashes. But.
That scene was so hard to watch.
That's a better Peter Krause rumor than the one I made up, which is that maybe he has a criminal history.
I don't think
it's something
like that.
Or something.
I don't think it's something like that. I think it's just legit. Why wouldn't you want him to be the Bachelor? And then like the showrunner, like Mike Fleiss, was like tweeting out like, why would you want to have Peter as the Bachelor when he doesn't want, like he's like messy on Twitter.
Mike Fleiss, showrunner
of The Bachelorette and Bachelor, is like, he's a lot, and he'll tweet like out some shit. Like he gets like gossipy on Twitter,
uh-huh.
And sometimes he like blows his load and is like, "Tomorrow, guys, it's coming," and then shit goes wrong. And it feels like every season of The Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise or whatever, there's this insane controversy. Like now, like apparently, like one of the guys who does really well is like liking all that transphobic shit on Instagram.
Oh,
like
no.
This is what I heard. It's like this guy Garrett, who got the first impression rose, who allegedly does well on the show. He is literally like one of those, like an alt-right person.
You know, I gotta say, I'm not feeling good about Becca's options. They're like weird aggro
dudes.
It's
not a good year.
They all also look the same.
Do you like her?
I am happy she's the Bachelorette, but I also think that like it's gonna be a boring season. All the dudes look the same, and they're like something weird is going. Although I do love that the guy rolled off the bed.
Oh, that's just classic.
I mean,
he broke his face rolling off the bed and had to go.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, he's going to come back.
He's going to come back. but the thing is, like, after Rachel, who I think was the best Bachelorette the last episode, I don't know. Becca doesn't have that star quality.
Rachel was the only one that like drew me in and was like,
I started watching the whole franchise.
Yeah, I'll be like, I'll watch this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was so great. Oh, God. I'm just remembering now that. One time I was walking down the street and I thought I saw Rachel Lindsay, and it wasn't her. And
wow.
But I was walking behind her and then
That's her ass.
And then I passed her, stopped, turned around and said, "Excuse me, are you?" Never mind.
No.
On my street.
I get it. I've had this happen with every person, I've seen people like Matt walk down the street and I'm just like, is that Matt? And it's not. It's like, I understand just being so excited to see someone.
Yeah, it's true. You like manifest that.
I'm Bowen's Rachel Lindsay.
And Matt is my Rachel Lindsay for
That's
sure.
That's nice.
I do kind of want to be the gay batch.
You would be a gay
batch. Oh, that would be
batch.
Great.
I really want to. I don't know if I want to be the gay batch or I want to be like in a promo with a white background and like holding a rose. I don't know which
one. Not
I
that
more.
This would be bad, but when there's a gay bachelor, do you think that contestants will end up hooking up with one another?
So that's the thing. They did this with Finding Prince Charming on Logo.
Okay.
But the rule, the unspoken rule was that the contestants could not fuck each other.
Which
well,
you can't
of course,
put,
that's an unspoken rule, but like,
but
I mean.
I think it makes it more interesting that people hook up in the house.
But then the whole show is just going to be
just,
like,
yes. Yeah.
I wanted to come and pull you aside and tell you that, you know, these people like each other.
Well, what they did on Finding Prince Charming, which I think is a little problematic, is they cast like a fucking model as the Bachelor and the rest of them were kind of like a little bit more like weird.
It was by design that like the contestants like were not in the same league, quote unquote, as the Bachelor himself, as like the guy.
Oh, that's strange.
So it was weird. It was like, everyone's aspiring to this one person, which
because
was
of his
strange,
looks.
Because
yeah,
of his looks.
Yeah, yeah. It just didn't feel good.
It's
you know?
So there's a lot of like design flaws in just saying gay bachelor, but like I don't know. I think there is a way to hack it where it's like the contestants are allowed to hook up with each other, and that is an element.
Well, here's what I want to happen with my narrative on the Gay Bachelor. I want to be a contestant and just be beloved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be Rachel Lindsay, and then they bring me back, and everyone's like, "Yes, it's his time. He needs this."
I want to be on The Bachelorette because I want to go on the dates.
Yeah, they're fun.
I mean, nobody would want to, like, if I was the Bachelorette, I don't really think people would be fighting to be with me, but they would be like, and we want to make it to Italy.
Yeah. I want to go to, like, Stockholm. But wait, there's one thing I want to say before we do Adam Thinks 100, which is you will like this. So when Rachel Lindsay was filming her season of The Bachelor with Nick, how do you say it? Vial or Vial? I don't
know. Nick Vial.
Nick Vial, who I think is hot.
Yeah,
I'm
he
sorry.
Is.
I like all his Instagrams and I'm like, you're like a stupid bitch. Like I'm always like, I love you. And I really, I fall for it all. He's not funny though. He thinks he's funny. He's not. It's important to say that.
Okay.
He does like comedy and wigs.
Okay, what? Hey, just talk
anyway, because wigs are comedy. A wig got me to JFL. That's true. But anyway, he...
But this isn't wig. This is just...
No, that's a hat with that's a hat with hair. That's different. Rachel Lindsay shot her fantasy suite date the day after the election. And it had been like 3 months since they were allowed to like use their phones or whatever. But like, and so she was very tuned out of the election. But obviously she like got posted up in a bar like in like Sweden or something. And like was like watching and drinking as the election was happening. She thought Hillary's going to win. It's going to be amazing. Like we're going to bring this home. And then Donald Trump won. So she proceeded to get fucking drunk. She said this on an interview. And she woke up the next day and was like really truly hungover and had to film like her fantasy suite date. And like remember when she did that with Nick and everyone was like, oh my God, she's so comfortable and dropped in and like they're so natural and comfortable with each other. She was so hungover that she says that when they got in the fantasy suite, she fell asleep immediately. They didn't talk. And that's why he eliminated her the next day. And her energy was very like, I kind of understand, because she knew that literally they spoke not at all. They did not have sex in the fantasy suite. He sent her home because he's like, well, I did speak to the other two in the suite and we didn't get a chance to talk because you passed out.
That's so funny.
Yeah, which it worked out for her because then she got to be the Bachelorette. But everyone was like, that's crazy that she didn't win. They had the best chemistry, etc. It's like, no, she just like got tanked from being so depressed about the election.
That's so funny.
And they didn't allow them to talk about it on air. Yeah.
And I remember at the fantasy, I think her date that day was like them going and like drinking during the day.
Yeah, so she had like hair of the dog, baby.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but she said that in an interview and I thought that was so classic.
There you go.
I need to know what happens in the suites. I mean, I need to know.
They ask the hard questions. Because this is another thing. It's like Becca, who like, if you look at her Instagram, she's like a Hillary supporter. But if she ends up choosing someone who's like an alt-right person.
She won't. She can't. Well, she's smart.
She may have. That's the thing.
Oh.
They're not allowed to talk about it on the air. So you have to ask that question in the fantasy suite. And it might not be top
it
of
maybe
mind.
Didn't.
Oh, right.
For me, if I'm dating, for me, I would never go on a date probably with a Republican.
Yeah.
And also like.
But you would assume that you were attracted to this person and like they share your political alignment.
Or I would ask that question. And if you're in a situation where you're not allowed to look at any Instagram, you're not allowed to do anything, and you are not allowed to ask that question because it's not like cool for air, what the fuck? Yeah. You could end up getting on one knee or like saying yes to someone who like has a crazy thing about them.
But don't you think you would know like there would be other red flags when you were hanging out with someone like, oof, I think this guy like might be like trouble.
Yeah, totally.
You would think.
I mean, if there's like an aggro anything, like, you know what I mean?
You would think. But and also like, probably top of mind when you get in the fantasy suite is like, you've been hanging out with this person for months. Like, you want to fuck him.
I know.
And then maybe like the pillow talk afterwards. It's like, so,
are you super religious?
Yeah. But anyway.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
You get in
as
the...
As he comes. Hail Satan!
You get in the fantasy suite, and then you're just like... Ah, for three.
All three of them say Hail Satan when they come.
Yeah.
That would be cute. That'd be historic. Okay.
Historic.
Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our segment in the show where we take 1 minute to rant on something that's just getting our goat.
In culture,
in life. What
Fran was on our I Don't Think So, Honey live at the Echoplex.
She drew Hillary Duff.
Yes, thank you for coming out, everyone. And I have one. I don't think so, honey topic.
Can I use
because I was jarred by something recently.
Okay.
When we were in
LA. Yes. I know what this is.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the name Egg Slut. Oh, no. I literally was hungry. And then I saw egg slut.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't eat now. Because it's not, like, I love eggs. I love sluts. Mm. But egg slut, like, the idea of being a slut for an egg, I don't think so.
No,
honey. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, eggs are very specific. Like, I need them scrambled. I need them, like, in a specific way. I don't need them, like, in a sexual sense.
Right.
And also, when eggs are, like, a little bit cold, like, I get very weirded out by them. Also, like, I'm very specific about my eggs. And so, like, you know, being a, I don't know, egg slut. There's just two words that can't go together. And already I have a complicated relationship with eggs. So when you put them in a sexual thing and you want to be a slut for eggs, like, I guess I would be a slut for eggs, like, if I knew that I was going to enjoy them. But unfortunately, I don't always have, like, a consistent relationship with eggs. And so, you know, and I do consider myself, like, a little bit more on the slut side. And I'm very proud of that. But the thing is, I don't know about egg slut. It made me not hungry. And I know I needed to eat. So I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. Wow.
I agree.
It turns me off.
Egg slut.
Egg slut.
Egg slut?
But it's the egg part that gets me.
And also, like, who named it? You know what I mean? Like, could they be?
There are a lot of things in LA that have names that they want to be the draw. And most of them are like a run-on sentence. You know what I mean? Like, there's like a popular bar called, like, Don't Come Knocking on Mama's Door.
Yeah, right. I love that, though. I love that.
You know what I mean? Like, there's it's like a Michelin star restaurant called Pigs Are Home.
I mean, I appreciate a stupid fucking name. Our podcast is called Las Culturistas.
Oh, that's good.
But I literally said it. I said it out loud. I pulled it out of my asshole. And Bowen laughed because it was so dumb. And then we were like, okay, yeah, this will be the name of our dumb podcast that now, like, is the main thing we do. So
funny. It's, I mean, yeah.
What's,
I mean,
in a name?
What's in a name?
A name can take you anywhere. Can look
potentially
like
success. Mm. Okay, let's do Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey. And Bowen Yang's time will start now.
I Don't Think So Honey styrofoam cups. Mm. And bitch, here in Forever Dog LA, what do I see? A stack of styrofoam cups. Brett Boehm, hot producer Brett, thinks it's fine to have an unsustainable
stupid
cup.
Bitch.
Stupid bitch. Forever Dog LA, I Don't Think So Honey. There's no ventilation in this room. There's some vent in the ceiling. It's doing nothing.
Stupid bitch,
I cannot be in this room with where the curtains are drawn, the cups are styrofoam, and will never disappear off the face of this earth. We'll never biodegrade in a landfill and will just outlive all of us. I Don't Think So Honey, styrofoam cups, and this Brita filter in the fridge that does not have a good pouring exit
rate. It's not intuitive.
It's not intuitive, Brett. I demand better cups, better ventilation, better Berettas, honey. And if you cannot accommodate this, then I will be the queen diva, best believe, of Big Frida. I cannot have the styrofoam nonsense in this place.
And that's 1 minute. I have something to say about this. Two things. One, also, if you eat styrofoam, your risk of cancer goes up. Also,
who's eating styrofoam?
I don't know. Kids, dogs.
Dogs.
Your
adults
risk
who don't know better.
Cancer goes up when you're eating
styrofoam.
Sharon Stone
is cancerous. Also, when I was young, I did a science project, which was which kind of cup will keep soda the coldest, and styrofoam won.
Yes, it is an insulator.
It's okay, a great insulator.
Hold on, HPB, what do you have to say? Yes, rebut. Okay, please. Hot producer Brett's gonna come over and tell us what's up. I can't believe I'm ashamed.
Wow,
of these
cups. This is gonna be a whole fucking production. He's putting on the fucking headphones and everything. Here,
Brett,
we go. Shit.
What's going on?
That hit a real sore spot for me.
Why?
Good.
I usually do not have styrofoam cups. I usually get biodegradable cups from the Target that is like 3 blocks.
I'm not seeing them. Where are they?
Well, she wasn't beautiful tonight.
I was in a rush this time.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, making other preparations for your arrival. I noticed that you did not mention the gamut of pastries.
Fine.
What are we supposed to do? Not eat?
Brett, thank you for the pastries.
Just like run-of-the-mill donuts. I mean,
they were good.
French bakery.
I had one. It was definitely French.
Well, thank you in a real way.
Thank you.
Thank you in a real way.
So just want to make sure that gets out there. But point taken on styrofoam. I was in a rush. The bodega downstairs only had styrofoam.
Fine. Well, then shame on the bodega. There's no ethical consumption in capitalism, but don't chop there. And thank you for the donuts. They were delicious. We love you, Brett.
Love you, Brett.
That was all a bit. We love Forever Dog LA. They did roll out the red carpet for us, honey.
Yes, bitch.
And we love it. Okay, so now it's time for Frank Gillespie.
I don't think so, honey.
Oh, God. I forgot that this was going to happen. Okay, I have one though.
Okay, great.
Okay, okay. This is Fran Gillespie's I Don't Think So, Honey, and our time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Movies that say based on a true story. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. It doesn't make it more interesting that you and your buddies had a little rendezvous. Like, I don't care at all. If you're like, but can you believe it was true? It's like, okay, why not just like do something interesting?
Ooh. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The only thing I care if it's based on a true story is The Jinx. And it's a documentary, so cool. Or like The Staircase.
30
like,
seconds.
If it's not a documentary and then you're just like, oh, can you believe that this is based on a true story? We're not kidding. It's like, yeah, you're not kidding. It's boring. Like, based on a true story, like, me and my friends hung out and that's not a lie. It's like, yeah, 15 okay. seconds. I really, truly don't give a shit. I will still see it, but I can't be like compelled to be like, and it was bad, but it was kind of true. And so that's good. Anyway, I don't think so, honey, based on a true story.
And that's
1 minute. And you know what's worse on that? Based on real events.
Oh,
what the fuck does that
mean? That's the new based on a true story.
Based on real events. Like The Blind Side, based on real events. What does that mean? You took these people and like kind of fucked up their life a little bit and now there's a film?
Oh, you spent an extra $50,000 buying people's life rights? Congrats. That's not even that. The 50K is low. Yeah, you're oh my God, that's so funny. You're
I
so
hate
right.
it. And it's also like, it's one of those things where it's like, this isn't good. So what if we say like, but it's almost true.
Right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
That doesn't make it good.
That is like the worst seasoning you could put on any bad thing.
Yeah, based on a true story. Guess what? True stories are often boring. That's why they're not movies.
Fiction is queen, honey.
I don't want to see my own life because it's not interesting enough to be a movie.
Oh my
if you
God.
Have a film and you have the opportunity to get a crew together and you're blessed and privileged enough to get people that are actors and talented, get them together and guess what? I don't want to watch them act out a real story. I want to see spectacle, honey. I want to see Hollywood glamour. I want to see everyone wearing a dress.
There you go.
Amen.
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 Oh my God. This is one of the Traumarama. First times.
Traumarama.
This is one of the first times I've fully cried from laughing.
You cried.
Thank you, Fran, for giving me the gift.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Well, listen. We do close every episode with a song.
Here we go. You want to lead us, Matt?
Yes.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her.
Have fun with it.
Through the night. With a light from above. From the mountains.
If you want to hear the rest of that, go to a football game.
Thank you.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.